Blog Talk Radio. Thought about getting Christian counseling for yourself or a loved one? From time to time, we all have difficulties and we need help to sort things out. Sometimes we may just want an objective person to encourage and coach us through certain seasons in life. Christian counseling can help facilitate the healing process for spiritual, psychological, and emotional growth. Hi, I'm Dr. Ginny. Being a Christian counselor means I'm dedicated to helping people resolve past and present issues. My goal is to help my clients develop meaning and purpose in life, enabling them to make changes that will result in personal growth and development, restoration of balanced lifestyles, and the emotional strength to yield lifelong results. If you're looking for some answers and would like some Christian or spiritual direction, please call me for a private one-on-one phone consultation at 1-800-375-3446. I would love the opportunity to talk with you and help make today better and tomorrow great.
Hey, Dr. Ginny, what about the Moldavite?
Got it.
What about the crosses and crucifixes?
Got them.
What about them being pure sterling silver?
They are, 0.925, imported directly from Italy.
Well, how can I get one?
Just go to my website, www.drginny.com. That's drginny.com. Log on, click on the online storefront, and you can see all the crosses, the crucifixes, the pendants, even lockets. And the lockets all come with a piece of blessed palm from Palm Sunday.
Well, I'm going to go online right now and buy myself a crucifix.
Do it.
Hey, are you looking to find true love, the perfect job, prosperity, or the road to good health? Science has proven that our bodies are made up of a complex energy system called chakras. These chakras can be tuned up just like a car. Imagine if your car was not running correctly. Would you just sit back and assume it would magically fix itself? If your refrigerator stopped cooling, do you think you would just wait and see what happens, or would you be afraid that all your food would spoil and call a repairman? Chakra clearing and balancing is the same thing. When things are not going right in your life, whether it's your love life, your career, your bank account, or your health, can you afford to just sit back and wait and hope that somehow it will simply just correct itself? Chakra can even help the most stressed out person regain their sense of calm and inner serenity, regardless of what's going on around them. You can get a full chakra clearing and realignment long distance over the phone by calling 1-800-375-3446. That's 1-800-375-3446. We'll be happy to clear and balance all your chakras. Look forward to tomorrow. A chakra clearing does take 1 hour time. We look forward.
Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny. I'm here with my co-host.
Jessica.
Yeah, you know, I almost said Miss Jessica again, didn't I?
You did.
Well, thanks for tuning in tonight. Our topic is the subconscious mind and how it can control your life. Tonight we're going to talk about how your subconscious can influence your conscious decisions. And you'll learn how to train your subconscious so that you have a healthier and more prosperous future. You're also going to discover how big money marketing, these big marketing companies, how they use subconscious techniques, subliminal techniques, to get into our subconscious. And it kind of motivates you to buy a product that you may not have purchased otherwise. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, so we're going to help you all release the power of your subconscious by listening to our show tonight. And I think you're going to find what we tell you about subliminal advertising to absolutely blow your mind, because it is just amazing what companies are doing out there. And it's all allegedly. I have to say allegedly. That's the one thing that they've been saying all along, is it's allegedly being done, because they deny doing it. And yet when you get done hearing about the facts and seeing the examples with your own two eyes, which we have set up a site tonight so that you can actually go on and see the pictures of the actual ads that you're buying products from today, and we'll point out where the subliminal advertising and the pictures take place, you'll be shocked.
Oh, it's
really
going to blow people's minds, because it did mine.
I know. It's amazing. And then a little later on in the show, as always, I'll be doing live mini angel readings. So please make a note of our call-in number. That's 323-679-0882. 323. I say that so fast, it's like a freight train going through, isn't it? I know. 323-679-0882. And feel free to ask any questions or make a comment, or even if you have some advice, go ahead and give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners. And by the way, our chat room is yet not open. See, I was about to say, and it's open now and ready to go, but I realized I forgot to set it off there. Now it's going.
Uh-oh.
And I know. Can you believe I did that?
Everybody's just hanging on.
All these people, millions and millions of listeners are hanging. No, I don't think so. I forgot to open the chat room. I'm sorry, everybody. But it's open now, and I can see that there are people actually logged in. So, and Susie, our room mom, our chat room mom, is in there. So thank you, Susie. She's going to keep everybody warm and comfy, and we'll read any comments that come in live over the air that come in from the chat room. And don't forget to mark your calendars for next Wednesday. Our topic is going to be hypnotherapy. Does it work? How does it work? And can it work for you? Should be an interesting topic. A lot of people wonder if hypnotherapy works. You know, there's all these CDs and DVDs that are out there, and they wonder, does it work? And in a way, it kind of is connected to our topic for tonight, because it does work a lot with your subconscious. That's
right,
hypnotherapy works. So I thought it would be a good way to continue up the show. And then future shows that are going to be coming up later are Friends, How to Make Them and How to Keep Them. We have a show called Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire, which is how to tell if someone's lying. We have a show on December 21st, 2012. That's the topic. That's not the date it's going to be on. And where people say, do I need to pack a swimsuit or a parka? Or will my travel plans get canceled? Everyone wants to know what's happening on December 21st, 2012. So we have an expert coming on that's going to talk to us
about
that.
That should be very interesting.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting, because we all have questions about, you know, whether we need to be concerned or not. And then we're going to be doing a show on near-death experiences and what's that like. Hopefully we'll have a chance to talk to some people who've had near-death experiences. So these are just some of the shows that are coming up. Jessica, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
But okay, wait, I'm going to say, how was your week?
My week was so busy.
I never get another answer.
One day I'll say, oh, nothing.
Well, you barely made it in here tonight.
I did. It was, of course, work's just hectic, and then had a doctor's appointment, so that was hectic, and trying to cram it all into one day, it just never works.
Yeah, I know. It gets really hectic. But I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you made it, because had you not made it, I was going to have somebody else step in.
I know. Who could fill my shoes?
Nobody could fill your shoes.
That's
Who
right.
Who could possibly fill your shoes? It wouldn't be possible.
Because I have small shoes. I was just going to say, you're a smaller person.
Little feet. That's the problem. I think we had a really great weekend. Tell everybody what we did.
We did. We went to the beach, which we love the beach. I mean, I love the beach. My kids love the beach. And actually, my oldest son lives on Daytona Beach. Well, not on the beach, but near the beach.
That would be really good real estate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's lived there for a while.
Homeless, you know?
And we all decided to go out and hang out, and
yeah,
it was so much fun, but we saw something that I have never experienced before.
Yeah, we got into the resort area where we were going to the beach, and they had
the Hare Krishnas out on the beach. They had this big giant, I don't even know how to describe it, it looked like a giant wagon with all different multicolors, pink and yellow, and it almost looked like a giant play right on the beach with all these people singing and dancing and jumping around.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was like a two-story thing. It
uh-huh.
looked like something in a Mardi Gras, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. And they were playing music, and people were riding in the bottom of this thing. It was like a huge, colorful
mm-hmm.
wagon, and they were pushing it in the sand, and it was so large, I thought, how is that not sinking?
Right.
And
that was pretty amazing when you come think about
it. Yeah, I kept waiting for it to sink in. All I kept waiting for was for, you know, like the lifeguards to come running over and start pulling all these robed people out. Because everybody was wearing these white, long, flowing
white
garbs. Yeah,
the white, long
garb.
Dresses
yeah.
and the little ponytail
yeah,
in the back.
Yeah, and
the
little bit of hair in there. They turned out to be
Hare Krishnas.
Hare Krishnas. And please, give us the tune.
Hari, hari, hari. I don't think anybody wants me to sing.
No, they were singing this song. As a matter of fact, it went something like this. Well, something like that in any event.
Neat. I mean, we were just kind of blown away because how many people do you think were on the beach?
I would say probably about 300 people.
Yeah.
Were either in front of it or behind it, and they were all dressed in this gauzy type material.
Oh, it was so neat. They all looked
beautiful.
So happy, and you would think they'd be sweating bullets,
no,
and they weren't.
Sweating.
No,
I was thinking, we're standing there in bathing suits, and we were sweating, and
yes.
we're looking down at these people pushing this heavy thing, and they were like, the positive energy that surrounded it.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. So we, of course, all ran down to greet them, and they gave us brochures, and they were just all so nice. And then they had that, what I thought was that really old guy in the bottom.
Yeah, you're going, oh, my gosh, look at that old guy.
I thought he was propped up. He looked like he was propped
statue.
Up.
It was a statue.
That's why he was propped up. I'm thinking that poor old man, they propped him up in the bottom of that wagon. And I thought he was the one that was doing the, but he wasn't. He was, I don't know who was singing, do you?
It was that little old person in the back.
He was singing?
Yeah.
The guy?
Yeah, he had a microphone.
I missed it. I kept trying to find the person who was doing the singing.
Yeah. Well, because my other son was filming it.
I know. We're supposed to get the video, and I'm going to put it on the website on drginny.com, www.drginny.com, and you should be able to see it. But he's going to send that over to me, and I just have to figure out how to embed it into my site. It probably will take me a day, but I should be able to do that.
Oh, and it was, he did a good job, and it was just a really neat experience, along with just the whole beach day.
Yeah, it was just fun. It was really fun.
It was
such a good day, and it was one of those days where it wasn't too hot. I mean, it was hot, but when you're in the ocean,
yeah,
it
but you
really
know,
matter.
You had the ocean breeze, and it was just a nice, casual, relaxing day.
It was really cool. And today was the official last day of school for my girls.
Yep,
and your daughter.
Too.
Yeah. So our daughters had the last day of school today. See, a lot of people across the country don't realize that here in Florida we start school. Like this coming year, it'll be April or August 15th, we actually start school. So they actually end school a lot earlier here as well.
Right.
So today was their last day of school, so there was a lot of celebration going on.
Oh, they were so excited.
Oh, my gosh, it was crazy, and all they wanted to do was go to Sonic for Slurpees. You know, that was all they wanted. Well, everybody stay tuned, because in just a few short minutes, we're going to be talking about the subconscious and how it controls your life and also how it influences all of your conscious decisions. You'll be surprised to learn how your subconscious, even though you don't realize it, is really controlling your conscience. And then we're going to learn how to train your subconscious so that you have a healthier, more prosperous future. But even more important, we're going to learn how big money marketing companies use subliminal techniques to reach into your subconscious and coerce you into buying a product that you may not have purchased otherwise. So we're going to have more on that in just a minute, but this song goes out to Melissa, Tiffany, and Nicole, because this is all about schools out, so I think you'll like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
for the explosion. I know. At the end of the song.
And you just told me this was Alice Cooper. I had no idea Alice Cooper sang that song.
Alice Cooper, School's Out, yeah. And I just, that song was like playing in my head as I'm in the car line picking up my youngest daughter today. And I'm thinking, I remember that used to, we used to like
I
blast
used to love that song.
You know, just because, you know, because that probably came out when I was in high school. I don't know when it came
out.
Yeah,
that's an oldie.
Yeah. I feel so good now. Well, gee, you know what? It's about time to read our email. As you know, each week we talk about what we're going to do the week before, what our topic is, and we ask you to write in, and you always do, and we love it, love it, love it. And then we play a game of rock, paper, scissors. Sue has to go down to the creaky old rusty mailbox and take it out. Ready? On 1, 2, 3, go. Dang.
Uh-huh. I've been
okay.
doing really well with this.
You know, I'm going to ask you something. Do you always do scissors?
I like scissors.
No, I'm just wondering if that's your thing. Because, see, if I figure you're always doing scissors, then I'm going to start doing rock, and I'll finally start
winning. No, but see, last
again.
Week I did rock.
Darn, I'm never going to win it. Okay, I'm running down to the mailbox. Sounded like my high school teacher. Okay, here's some great emails. I'll put them here. I must not follow. Okay, and we've got a whole bunch of them today that we are going to try and read off to you. And also what we're going to do, as you all know, is we put them all in a drawing. And each week, no matter how many come in and no matter how many we read, they all go into right now it's actually a huge, huge box. And the box is getting too small, so we're going to have to find another solution for this because you're getting shoved in there pretty tight. But we draw one each week, and then we will email you the next day and let you know that you've won a free reading, angel reading, and we'll set that up with you. So everybody's always entered. Once you send an email, even if it's just for a question or to make a comment, you get entered in. Okay, Jessica, go ahead and read your first one.
Okay, first one here. Hi, Dr. Jenny. I'm excited to listen to your show on subliminal advertising. My friend told me about some problems that he heard with Disney movies. I do not know if it's real or not. Oh, I didn't say who this was from.
Oh,
this is from Ralph R. from Moline, Illinois. Now that I just interrupted myself.
Okay.
My friend told me about some problems that he heard about Disney movies. I do not know if it's real or not, but one of them is in The Lion King. It looks like there's dust in the sky that says sex. But the story is that the special effects team was trying to write SFX in the sky, and it ended up looking like sex. Oh, my gosh. And in Aladdin, that one actually has some random voice saying something that sounds like, take off your clothes, while Aladdin's line is, good kitty. How do you fit good kitty in with take off your clothes? To the tiger, so it runs together and sounds like, good teenagers take off your clothes. Don't know if it's real, but could you let me know?
Actually, I have heard about this. And, of course, I know that officially, I'm sure I'm stating this, but I don't know 100%, but I would assume, this is an assumption, that Disney would say, of course not, there's no subliminal
right.
Messages in their
But
their
that one
thing.
In Aladdin, that's kind of wacky.
Now, okay, apparently, as I recall, they did ask Disney about this. And they were saying that they were trying to write SFX for special effects.
Okay, well, I get
sky.
That.
And it just looks like the word, you know, sex. And
but in Aladdin, good kitty.
Yeah, a lot of people heard that.
Really?
And I don't. And I, as I understand, the SFX one was removed, I believe, in 2003,
okay,
if I'm
that's
correct.
Lying.
And then the other one, I believe, the voiceover was removed. But there were other things, and you know, I know that. I know somebody who spoke to a cartoonist. This is hearsay, allegedly. I'm going to be using the word allegedly a lot tonight because we're going to be talking about some really big-name marketers
right.
and I don't want to get sued. So the word allegedly is going to be thrown out there all the time. So allegedly, they take a lot of these cartoonists like to kind of poke fun a little bit and they'll stick stuff in the movies that only they know and they can point out to their friends and say, check this out and that kind of
right,
thing.
Right, right.
I don't think it's ever done to hurt or to, you know, do anything like that. But this is what I've heard. So,
interesting.
Yeah, so I don't think that person's all that off. Okay, let's see. We've got a whole stack of them here. What's this one? This is from B. Hendricks in El Paso, Texas. El Paso. I was in El Paso once. Yeah, and I passed it. I said, I'm El Paso in this place. No, it was really hot in El Paso. I'm going to tell you that. It was like 110 or 111 degrees.
Wow.
It was really
is that
hot.
Desert-like out there?
We were out in Tulum. It was part of our trip to Tulingua, Texas.
Uh-huh.
There was a big chili cook-off and all this stuff.
Oh,
but
really?
When we were particularly out there, it was really, really hot. And we spent a month out at Big Bend, the state park out there. It was huge and saw things you will never, ever see in your lifetime unless you take a trip like that. It was the most awesome thing I've ever done. We also almost died, but I try to kind of put that part out of my memory.
Yeah.
Other than that part, it was the most awesome trip ever. Okay, so it says, this is from B. Hedricks in El Paso, Texas. Dear Dr. Ginny and Jessica, you're right, sometimes we take life so seriously we forget to laugh and have fun. I have lots of things in my life that make me laugh. Sometimes I just do the silliest things and have to laugh at myself, my two girls, my husband, and my children. Oh, she laughs at her husband. I like that. I laugh at my husband. The husbands are fun to laugh at. We love them, but we like to laugh with them, not at them. I find humor in grammar and punctuation mishaps and some of the things that people say for no reason and in life in general. The last thing I laughed at was yesterday playing with my two-year-old grandson. We were playing with little plastic animals, and his pronunciation of them were very awesome. I do try to help him learn the correct way to say words, but sometimes it is so funny what comes out of his mouth. We played with Japs, Dions, Munties, Tamils, Zebris, Roses, Pomus, I think that's hippopotamus, and Ostriches, I think that's ostriches. How can you expect a two-year-old to say hippopotamus? We had a lot of fun and laughed so much. Thanks for your show. It should be made a must-listen-to show for anyone who is in the dumps. Keep laughing. And this, of course, was regarding our show last week,
right,
which is that laughter really is the best medicine.
That's nice.
And that's a good one. Now I'm going to share everybody with everybody. This I'm not going to say who this is from because I said I wouldn't. And she was kind enough to she called me after our show last week. This individual, and I'm gonna give her the name of Penelope, just because I want to put that in my mind so I don't actually say her real name. But Penelope, she had an event that happened, and she said it was something that normally she would have just died of embarrassment, but she kind of thought back to the show and decided to turn it into a laughing matter, and she did. And so this is what happened. She was having lunch with a friend of hers, I believe it was a boyfriend, and they went to the store to pick up a few things, and they were sitting there and they were having lunch, and her stomach started to get a little bit upset. And so she decided that she was going to run to the restroom, and he was going to sit there where they were eating. And she said that she's typed it all out here. She sent me an email. She said she embarrassingly did not make it in time. And she said everything was a mess, and I was a mess, and here she is in a public restroom, and she didn't know how she was supposed to get cleaned up. So she said, I went in, and I undressed, and I took off my panties, and I had to figure a way to clean up. And she said, I thought of my mother who has bowel health issues. And she thought about what her mother had said that she had done on several occasions in just such a situation. So she flushed the commode several times, and then made sure the water in the commode was totally clean, and then she went to dunk her panties in the commode to try and clean them up. And her cell phone rang, so she went to answer it, and it was her boyfriend wondering what was taking her so long, and it was at that point she realized that the commode had an electric flush, and all of a sudden her panties got sucked right out of her hand down the toilet. And then at that point, she cleaned up as best she could and realized she had to go change. And so she was, I think, in a Walmart supercenter. So she left there and went into the store and got herself some panties and a dress and paid for them really quickly and rushed back into the bathroom. And she said, I was in the handicap stall so I'd have more room to move around and get dressed. And she thought it was so odd that the woman in the next stall was facing the commode in pink length.
Oh, no.
And it was at that point that she realized that she was so flustered that she ran into the men's bathroom. So to top off just a wonderful, you know, morning, and so she came out and realized that, oh, dear God, yes, indeed, she was in the men's bathroom.
How embarrassing.
And she said, you know, she said, I thought to myself, gosh, And what could you do? She said, I left because this whole ordeal was approximately 20, 25 minutes of my long life, but a crazy few minutes. And she said, thank God the store was not very busy and I was able to make a clean getaway. But she found a way to laugh at it, and it is funny. It's hysterical.
That is hilarious.
You know, I mean, let's face it, things happen in life, and you just got to deal with them. And the best part was she didn't look at this as something that was so awful and humiliating. It was like, this is funny. I mean, you know, life happens. Stuff comes at us,
right.
All kinds of stuff. And she found a way to laugh at it. So I think that was really,
that
really
is so
good.
Funny. Well, that's a good example of looking at the bright side.
Well, it is a good example of looking at the bright side. And I'll tell you something else. There are so many instances in life that if we turn around and really just look at them, we'll be able to say, okay, you know what? There's a silver lining here. There's something about this that will be funny. And if you do that, you're going to do a lot better off. All right, we're going to play a song. We'll be back in 1 second.
Ever had, make it all better when I'm feeling sad. Tell me that I'm special even when I know I'm not. Make it feel good when I hurt so bad, barely getting mad. I'm so glad I found you. I love being around you. You make it easy. It's easy as 1, 2, 1. There's only one thing to do. 3 words for you. I love you. There's only one way to say those 3 words, and that's what I'll do. I love you. Give me more love from the very start. Piece it back together when I fall apart. Tell me things you never even tell your closest friends. Make it feel good when it hurts so bad. Best that I've had. I'm so glad I found you. I love being around you. You make it easy. It's easy as 1, 2, 1. There's only one thing to do. 3 words for you. I love you. There's only one way to say those 3 words. And that's what I'll do.
Their music first starts to play, you think it's the Beatles.
It did sound like a Beatles song.
Yeah, they have that kind of, you know, I like them. I like them. I like all their songs. There are very few I don't like. You know what? We've got a caller that's been on the line, and I want to get to her right away. Hi, Crystal. You're live with the Christian Psychic Cafe. How can I help you?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling about a question about a relationship.
Okay.
It's a relationship that I'm just kind of confused about. The person that, you know, that I'm seeing or whatever, they were gone for, like, over 24 hours, and I didn't get a call or hear from them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, like, wondering, like, you know, what was the reason for that? Were they, like, with another person or?
Well, first off, I can tell that you're still highly upset over this. Okay. And the other thing that I want to say to you is that the energy that I'm getting from you is that no matter what I say, no matter what you feel in your heart, until you hear it from him, you're not going to know, are you? Because you feel that, I mean, he's already expressed to you what's been going on, right?
No.
You haven't had an opportunity to talk to him about this?
Yeah, I've talked to him, but he's just kind of, he blows it off, you know, he ignores,
my
questions.
Okay. That's what I mean. You've already discussed this with him, because the energy that I'm feeling here is that this is kind of like, for him it's a done deal, right? I mean, it's like, okay, it wasn't what you think it is. It's not that he's pushing his side. It's ridiculous that you would get so upset. But I'm here to tell you had every right to be upset. When somebody takes off for 24 hours and you don't know where they are, you're probably sure to not calling the police on them, right? Because you're wondering if something happened to them. You want to know, you know, was he doing something he shouldn't have been doing?
Yeah.
That's your question, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think you know the answer to that. I think you already know the answer to that.
I kind of don't.
Okay, you really don't?
He's convincing me that, you know, everything's okay, everything is good. You know, he's a good guy, but I don't know. You know, I'm wondering, like, you know, where was he? Was he out of town? Was he, you know, I mean, what was the situation? Was he with another woman or?
Okay, I'm gonna share this with you. I'm not getting that he was out of town.
Okay.
Okay. Now, what the circumstances were around whatever he was doing for that 24 hours, that's something for him to relate to you, but I'm not getting that he was out of town. I'm getting that his energy was close by. So here's a question I have for you. How long have you been dating?
Since August.
Okay. So about 9 months, am I right on that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Has he given you other Jessica's counting on her fingers.
I'm having fun watching
her count on her fingers. I'm sorry. Her math is not good. But the thing that I'm wondering is, you know, has he given you other opportunity not to trust him in the last 9 months?
Yes. When we first got together, everything seemed perfect. And I was kind of skeptical because he kind of wanted to move fast and he felt like I was the one for him. It's like we had a lot of the same ideas and he had in his mind I was like his soulmate, but I was holding him back and I was, you know, kind of fighting.
Well, you were holding back because you had trust issues from previous experiences.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Because the previous relationship that I was in, he felt like, oh, you're the one for me. And, you know, I'm the type of person I like to take things slowly. And I feel like if we rush into things, we bump heads and we don't get to really see each other for who we really are and we miss a lot of things. So,
and that's,
you know,
very
I,
wise.
Yeah.
That's wise. You know, a lot of times when things burn too brightly, too fast, they tend to burn out. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and that's an adult way of looking at things. Now, I know there's probably some folks who are listening saying, well, sometimes it's just the right person and it's love at first sight and it's just, well, I agree with all of that, but anybody who's been through several relationships where there have been some trust issues and a lot of heart pain involved, then you do have a tendency to make sure that you're not putting your heart on the silver platter to get shredded, you know. Now, nobody wants to put their heart through a paper shredder, and so you're trying to do it the smart way, and that makes sense. So I think the way you are entering the relationship is adult and responsible. I think what you realize is that they're trying to find an instant relationship that's easy and comfortable so that they can then move on to other things in the relationship. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So now it took about, 60 days, 70, 75 days into the relationship, and then there was some trouble, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It usually happens.
Well, yeah, I'm just connecting with this, and I see it took about 75 days into the relationship, and then all of a sudden things started to get a little murky. The water got murky. Where it was crystal clear before, all of a sudden there were questions, red flags. I always like to call them red flags, were popping up all over the place about him, correct? And I'm not saying a lot, but some, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And
yeah, I actually was walking away, you know. It's like, oh, this isn't the relationship for me. It's not what I thought it would be. But he was trying to convince me that he was the one, and I was, like, confused if I should have just walked away or,
right.
You know.
Because you felt that there was enough red flags that it was time to walk away.
Yeah.
And why didn't you?
Basically listening to him.
So what you did was you chose to go against your own better judgment, and you chose to get sweet-talked into staying, and now it's kind of hit you smack in the face again. See, here's the thing. Let's be really, really honest, okay? And I know you're calling because you really want to validate what I think you already know and feel. When you're in a relationship with somebody and it's based on honesty and trust and love, which he claims to love you, correct?
He claims it.
This is one thing I want to say. I think he's very fond of you, okay? I actually would say he does love you. But I also think that you have to consider the fact that a person who truly loves us and respects us doesn't hurt us, okay?
Yes.
At least not intentionally. And he realized that there was a point of contention regarding this missing 24 hours, and instead of dealing with it, he's tried to make you feel uncomfortable about confronting the situation. And believe me when I tell you, and you know this to be true, any parent out there knows this, okay? Ask a child a question, when you don't get an answer, they're hiding something. And it's the same thing whether a guy's asking a girl a question or a girl's asking a guy a question. If they're avoiding the issue, if they're trying to downplay it and tell you, well, you're just being ridiculous, well, why would you be ridiculous? I mean, when you entered into this relationship, it was one of trust and respect, but he has done several things that made you question it, so naturally you're questioning this. You have every reason to. And if he's not giving you an answer and he's not being forthright, that should already validate what you already think might be going on.
Okay. Yeah, because I really do think there's another woman involved. Do you sense that there's, like, another woman?
Mm-hmm. I would tell you that I would say there is another female that has caught his eye. I'm not saying he's acted upon it, but I'm saying there is another female that has caught his eye.
Okay.
Okay.
So what, as far as, like, living with him, do you, I mean, sense anyone living with him? Because that's what I'm thinking.
Okay. If you think someone's living with him, then you're not nearly as connected as you should be. I mean, I'm not sensing that he's, where is his location connected to you? I'm not sensing that it's that far away from you.
He's not that far. He lives maybe 15 minutes away from me.
Okay. Kristen, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If your trust issues go so deep that you think there's a possibility that he might be living with somebody else, then it's already time to back up. You know, in football they say it's time to back up and punt. I think for you it's time to back up and kind of open up the drapes a little bit and really take a much better look at this relationship because, honey, if you're not sure, I'm going to tell you that I do sense that there is a female that he's interested in. Whether or not he's living with somebody, I'm not sensing that energy around him, no. But I would say if there's a question in your mind, and you two are supposed to have a one-on-one, in other words, you're not supposed to be seeing other people, but you're obviously sensing that he is. And I know you've already made that commitment to each other that you're not going to see other people. I mean, that's kind of been understood, correct?
On my end.
It wasn't on his end?
He, I'm just, my thing is that I'm just kind of confused because everything was perfect with us. Like, I mean, we had a really, really great relationship, but because of my doubt, I'm wondering if he's still trying to hold on to me and not really let me go, but search around because he doesn't know if I'm going to stick around.
Okay, so that sounds like you're trying to put this off on you, and that sounds like something that he has put in your head. You don't have to bear the brunt or the burden of the fact that you're with a guy who, he did allude to you that you were the only one, though, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay.
He does all the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. He's alluded this to you, but yet you know that he's out there kind of playing the field a little bit and looking around. I call it plan B, okay? So he's looking for his plan B, but it's not because you have trust issues. It's not your fault that you don't trust a man because he's not being forthright with you because he's lying to you.
Exactly.
Don't put that on you, okay? That's not for you.
Okay.
That's for him. So the reality of the situation is if he's not being honest with you, I think it's time for you to sit back and say, do I want to be in a relationship where the man I'm with doesn't communicate honestly, I can't trust, and therefore you're losing respect for him. And do not allow him or anyone else, I mean this for men or women, if that other person is not doing what they're supposed to do and then you're starting to feel the guilt over them not handling the relationship correctly, that's you're taking on what I call the abuser, okay? It's you have an abused mentality, meaning, you know, you're thinking it's your fault. Honey, this is not your fault, okay?
Yeah, because, I mean, I really don't think that's my fault because I tell him that. You know, you can't blame me because, you know, if you really want to be in a relationship, you would do what it takes. And the only reason why I'm really dealing with him, to be honest, is because there is a child involved. If it wasn't for that, because I'd actually just completely let him go and let him out of my life. And now that there's a child involved, that's just like I
but
don't
want
to.
But is this the kind of message you want to send for the child? I don't think it
is.
And while you're still messing around with this, what I call tightrope walk of a relationship, because that's kind of what it turns out to be, am I right? It's like you're walking a tightrope all the time. You never know when you're going to fall off. So you know what? You don't need to be out there walking a tightrope without a net. You need a good, solid man in your life because that's what you're looking for, not because you need it, because I know it's what you're looking for. You want a companion. So, you know, all the time you're walking the tightrope with him, you can't be out finding another guy because you're not the kind of guy that looks around. I mean, the kind of girl that looks around. Do you know what I mean? You're not that kind of person. You don't plan B him. Well, I know you look,
but
you're not acting on it. Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah.
So
you know, I deal with one situation at a time, so.
Right, exactly. So what I'm going to say to you is, you know, step back, take stock of the situation. You know he's not being honest with you. You already know that you're not happy with the situation. There's red flags flying up all over like it's a parade. So I think you need to step back and say, do I really want to pursue a relationship that's maybe very one-sided right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Because while you're trying to pursue something that you know isn't working out, you don't have the opportunity to pursue the real relationship where you have an equal partnership. Because isn't that all you're looking for?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
All righty.
Okay.
I hope this has helped you.
It is. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless. Thanks for calling in, okay?
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Okay, that's a tough one.
That is a
toughie. Sometimes, though, it's kind of like this. If you're invested in the stock market and the stock is going south and it's not going up and all the experts and all the financial experts are saying sell, you can't sit back and look at a stock that's teetering out of control and losing ground, saying, well, if I stay in it longer, I'll eventually make my money back. Maybe it'll turn around, because that's kind of what's going on with this relationship.
Right.
And it's kind of like a falling stock, and so, you know, you cut your losses. And in this case, I think it might be best for her to cut her losses because
right.
there's been point after point of situations where it's probably not the healthiest for her. So I hope she does consider that. We'll be back in two. We're going to continue with some plain white tea.
Okay.
stuck in the clouds. She begs me to come down, says, boy, quit fooling around. I told her I love the view from up here. Warm sun and wind in my ear will watch the world from above as it turns to the rhythm of love. We may only have tonight, but till the morning sun, you're mine, all mine. Play the music low and sway to the rhythm of love. Well, my heart beats like a drum, a guitar string to the strum.
And that's the Plain White Tees, Rhythm of Love. I really like this group. I don't know. I know they've been around forever, but you know how like
they're
a good
like song that you could just sing along to.
Yeah, they're just really nice. I like them, and it's kind of like that the Monkees and the Beatles.
I love the Monkees. You have to play the Monkees tonight.
You know what? The Monkees it will be, because I grew up with the Monkees.
Me
on
too.
My posters on my wall, so my parents made me
take
them down.
Yeah, Davy Jones.
Davy Jones and the other guy, what's his name? Mike Nesmith. Yes, he was my
guy. He actually
guy.
Played the guitar.
He did. I play guitar, air guitar. Yeah, whenever y'all don't see it, but here in the studio, I'm playing air guitar the whole time, aren't I?
You are.
Yes, I do it.
She's
all the time.
She's very good.
I'm a superb air guitar player. So let's talk about your subconscious, the subconscious mind that loves your that runs your life. This is something a lot of people are not aware of, and it will kind of be surprising. There are 40 million nerve impulses per second in your subconscious, while your conscious mind only fires 40 nerve impulses per second. So 95% of your daily activity is subconscious.
Wow.
Isn't that shocking?
That is shocking.
I know.
So your subconscious is just doing all this crazy
your
stuff.
Your subconscious is like this massive, massive, incredible, top-of-the-line computer. I mean, it even beats Macintosh, Apple, okay? I mean, this is like Mac. This is like the best, the best, the best. And actually, what happens is everything that you've ever done or seen in your entire life is filed away in your subconscious mind. And then sometimes we can go in and retrieve it, and sometimes we need hypnotherapy to retrieve it, but the reality is you can retrieve everything that's – it's like a huge, massive file folder. Even people, like if you're sitting at a restaurant, like, okay, when we were out the other day, where did we, I don't remember where we ate, Olive Garden.
Olive Garden.
Okay, the people that were sitting at the next table, you may not know who they are right now, but if you went into hypnotherapy, they can probably pull that out of your subconscious.
And I do have that happen a lot, where I see people and I feel like I've seen them before, but I can't place where, when, how,
yeah,
you know.
Right. Well, I get that a lot too, but it's pretty amazing that you can, everything that you see is being registered. Everything is being filed away in your subconscious. Again, 40 million nerve impulses per second. You're putting a lot of stimuli in there, a lot of information. Now, during the first 6 years of your life, your brain functions in what we call a delta state, which is sometimes it's referred to as a trance-like state, but obviously you're not in a trance till you're six. But what it means is there's no discrimination. So everything you learn in the first 6 years of your life is absorbed completely and becomes your fundamental truth, okay? So that means that the subconscious programming that you learned up until the age six is now running your life unless you change it. This means that people who are brought up in homes where maybe things aren't the best, that's what's programmed into your subconscious. It's where you learn your self-identity. So if you were told that you were bad or wrong or stupid or lazy or not smart or any of those things, these messages are literally imprinted on the membranes of your subconscious, and you'll keep repeating the same patterns until those membranes are cleared away and transformed. So the past will always keep coming back from your subconscious mind without your control. And that's just, it blows my mind that something that could happen when we're 4 and 5 years old is now programmed into our minds so that we actually think subconsciously our first response, our subconscious is going to feed it to our conscious, and that's going to be our response based on something we learned at 3, 4, 5, and 6
years
old.
Well, and that's why it's so tough to fix some of these things.
But it is all fixable, let me tell you. Your subconscious will act like a machine, an infinitesimally complex machine that sits in our brain feeding off our conscious. All it knows is what we feed it. We feed it rubbish, and rubbish will return. We feed it good stuff, and we'll get good stuff back. So it's kind of like a creature we might keep locked up in a cupboard, and we slide it cold cuts under the crack in the door to keep it sustained. And in return, it functions and does everything that we don't have time for. It controls our walking, our driving the car. You know, we often talk about, you know, I drove home today. I don't remember most of the ride. You know, I always say we put it on autopilot. That's our subconscious taking over. Even the way we perceive colors, our emotions take the lead from our subconscious, and it's a vital component to our existence. And if you treat it well, your subconscious, it will reward you tenfold. Without the subconscious, you wouldn't be able to function. Our consciousness can only perform one task at a time, okay? Our consciousness, that means our conscious, what we're aware of, conscious of, can only perform one task at a time. And you may think that you're, oh, I can multitask and I can watch TV while I'm surfing the web, but what you're actually doing is switching very quickly between the two. It means that your concentration's reduced, and if you want to increase your concentration, don't multitask. So you're really not multitasking. You're doing two things, but not at the same time.
I multitask all at the same time.
No, you don't. It's a
physical
impossibility. You cannot. And I'll explain that in a minute, because here's the thing. Our subconscious can run a number of tasks at once, okay? Think of it as a computer that can run, like, multiple programs. It's kind of like having a 4G phone, okay? You know, you can be on the phone, and you can be on your email, and you can also be surfing the net. The scripts are stored somewhere in the brain, and when we need them, the subconscious is going to go ahead and run the script. And when we decide to do something, and then we constantly end up being distracted or can't complete a task, and we can't understand why. You know, it's like every time I get to this point in my relationship, it goes north or it goes south, it falls apart. Or every time I get to this point in my job, I can't seem to break this glass ceiling that I come up against. Or maybe in my diet, whenever I get to the 9-pound mark, I never seem to be able to get to the 10-pound. That's the subconscious at work. It makes decisions for us that we're not consciously aware of, leading us to believe that the universe is somehow against us. And when it was our subconscious all along, it's not your conscious, it's your subconscious that makes those decisions. It's self-sabotage. And our subconscious is only doing what it's learned, but it can be unlearned. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm going to give you 6 steps in a little bit on how you can unlearn some of these steps. And if we program our subconscious to deliver negative thoughts, then we're only going to get negative thoughts. Even though our conscious may demand positive thoughts and actions, reprogramming the subconscious, it's pretty hard work, but it can be done. And it must be done if you're constantly self-sabotaging yourself. We've talked about self-sabotage on the show a lot, right? Can you think of any situations in your life where you self-sabotage?
Relationships.
Okay, all right. So that's something that you learned from early on, I
bet.
Okay. So you know what? You need your self-conscious, your subconscious, to be on your side. And this is where most people go wrong when it comes to self-development. They misjudge the ease at which they can change or change the way their subconscious is thinking. And you have to take some very careful steps, and you need to make sure that you work at them. And if you do that, you'll be surprised at how you can turn yourself, your subconscious, into the most positive, thought-provoking, incredible enhancement to your life that you could ever imagine. There are ways to do that, and I'll tell you ways that I've known people to go out and do it, suggestions I've made to people that have worked incredibly well. I had a woman who was a lady of the evening who couldn't seem to get past that because of what she had done in the past, and I'll share with you what we did to work on that and to make that change. And we're also going to be talking about alleged marketing secrets that are really not so secret, but that will shock you, on how your subconscious mind is subliminally altered and you make purchases that you probably didn't want to make. We'll get back to that in a second. And now, because you asked for it, Daydream Believer.
cut off very quickly, didn't it? I have no idea what just happened there. I know it wasn't. That was kind of weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, it just kind of stopped.
I don't know what happened. That music just stopped like that. It turns out, obviously, I should have listened to the whole song before I downloaded
yeah,
it. And say, my heart was in the right place, Jess. I tried.
And I'm listening to it going, wow, I feel like I should be skating around a skating rink.
That was the dance club version of Daydream Believer, I think. It was obviously not the Monkees, so I'm not going to live that one down for a very long time. Anyway, back to our topic tonight. Sorry about that. Subconscious minds and how they can control us without our knowledge. Let's talk a little bit about an offset. What could happen when somebody messes with your subconscious mind? And that's what we have with subliminal advertising. Now, the subliminal perception is a deliberate process created by communication technicians, where you receive and respond to information and instructions without being aware of it. Message in the form of, let's say, printed words or pictures or voices are presented either very rapidly or very obscurely and bypass your conscious awareness. So anything consciously perceived can be evaluated, criticized, discussed, or argued, right, and possibly rejected. But anything that's programmed subliminally into your – you see how I say this, subliminally? I have no problem saying that, subliminally. Okay, anything that's programmed subliminally into your subconscious meets no resistance, right? Because you can't – remember, your subconscious is just a huge filing cabinet, okay? So it's not a thought process. It's a filing cabinet. Think of it that way, right? So the subliminal information is stored in your brain, and it's capable of influencing your judgment, your behavior, and your attitudes. So the use of subliminal techniques in, like, print communication and media – it's been going on in the United States since at least World War I. And, for example, Norman Rockwell's first cover on the Saturday Evening Post during 1917 incorporated embedded word sexes. Whenever an embedded word or a picture accidentally becomes consciously visible, the readers would pass it off as a joke or an accident or a product of their imaginations. But the truth was serious commercial experiments with subliminal messaging were conducted in the mid-50s. And on June 22, 1956, the British Broadcasting Corporation experimented with projecting subliminal images on television pictures. And they had pictures that were flashed on the screen really quickly. So your conscious mind didn't pick it up, but they did make an impression on the subconscious. And they did experiments at Canadian Broadcasting Company, Mexico's Televisa commercial TV show, U.S. TV stations, WTWO, and also in Bangor, Maine, of all places, okay? Hardly anyone lives in Bangor, I know.
Right, what do you mean subliminal?
I have
Bangor
no idea. All you had to do was show a picture of, like, heat and everyone would be happy. Experiments were not limited to television. Now, in 1958, a radio station in Chicago broadcasted what they called sub-audible commercials. And you could hardly hear the tape messages, and they were very, very low. So the music played over it. And what they would say is, "How about a cup of coffee?" And someone's at the door. And what was happening is people were saying they kept going to the door, they kept all craving a cup of coffee. And so from this, then, you know, marketers start saying, "Hey, you know what? Let's see if we can make something. Well, if we can make money from this, get people to buy things." In December of 1972, there was an in-flight motion picture that began selling subliminal commercials embedded in the movies that they would distribute to all major airlines. Supermarkets across the country were reducing theft on an average of 30 to 50% by broadcasting subliminal messages such as, "I will not steal," or "We are watching you."
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine? I mean, my goodness. And there's even a company in Lansing right now, today, that you can buy this program. I think it's like $19.99. And it will put subliminal messages on your computer program, okay? So, like, on your screen, it automatically flashes, like, study or do not eat or do not drink any more coffee. Your conscious mind doesn't pick it up, but your subconscious mind will. Isn't that amazing?
That's interesting.
I know. And you know, I think everyone's probably heard about the one where they did it during the movies where they were flashing Coca-Cola. It was in the 1950s, and they had to eat popcorn and drink Coca-Cola. And supposedly there was an increase of 50%, 57% of popcorn and Coke drinking
oh, wow.
during that time. And you know, here's the thing, okay?
Can something that we don't really notice affect our behavior? Well, yeah, it does. It's how your perception works. As you know, your mind consists of two parts, the conscious and the subconscious. The subconscious part of the mind operates below the level of the conscious, but it controls reflexes, automatic functions, handles the processing and storing of information. So the subconscious is able to process all this, as we talked about, you know, 40 million nerve impulses going on all the time every year. I mean, that's just huge. I mean, it's just absolutely huge. So, yeah, it's constantly processing information. And so they say, instead of the simplistic five senses of Aristotle, sight, hearing, taste, touch, and smell, there are at least 37 known differentiated sensory inputs into the brain. And all of this information is picked up by the subconscious. So it's kind of amazing. And, you know, a good way to explain the subconscious is, and I've talked to somebody about this just recently. They call it the cocktail party effect. You can talk with a friend in a crowded party and still listen and understand what he says, even if the place is really noisy, right? Because you can simultaneously ignore what the other nearby person is saying. But if someone completely on the other side of the room suddenly calls out your name, you notice that sound, and you respond to it immediately. Now, they've done certain tests, and now the reason why this show is mature audience is because I'm about to say some things that, you know, I hope that only someone 18 and above would be listening to this show. They know, because of tests and psychologists and studies that have been done, that certain words such as sex, blood, death, and the F word have the same effect in triggering your attention in a crowded room if you're having a conversation with somebody as if somebody were to call your name from across the room, okay? So for some reason, your brain, your subconscious says, oh, that's relevant, bam, and it'll zero in. So if you're having a conversation on one side of the room, and all the way over on the other side of the room people are talking, you're still having your conversation, you're not paying attention to anything they say, somebody yells, somebody just says, Jessica, all of a sudden you hear it, and you know how that is, right?
Because you're tuned into that.
Right, you call selective hearing, but yet you could tune out everything else. But now they're saying if somebody says blood, death, or sex, or the other word, then automatically you're going to tune into that as well. And they say non-essential information, short or vague stimuli, are going to be, you know, stored away, and it's not really going to tweak your awareness. But whenever you get one of those words, then automatically it will bring up your subconscious, and it'll kind of like smack you in the conscious at the same time because it's saying, hey, wait, this is something you need to pay attention to. And you just have to wonder why that is.
Yeah, wonder why.
You know, they say that there are certain words that automatically are taboo when we're children. From the time we're small, we don't talk about sex. We don't talk about death.
Right.
And because of that, it's like a taboo subject. So when anyone starts to talk about it, we immediately go, oh, what? We're not supposed to talk about it. What are you saying? I want to hear. You know?
Right.
And I truly believe that's it. Now, the other thing that they do say, though, is that the subliminal message only strengthens or accelerates or reinforces reactions that we are already predisposed to. So they're saying, I guess, that, you know, you're not going to go out and buy a Maserati if you weren't already thinking it'd be really cool to own a Maserati or some other situations, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute. Now, I'm going to tell you where you can go look at some pictures. Now, do not go from your browser right now and look at these pictures, because if you do without opening up a new browser, you're not going to be able to see these pictures because you're going to cut off the radio show and you won't hear what's being said. So you need to open up a new browser. If you open up a new browser, you'll be able to go in, and you're going to go to, in a new browser, www.drginny.com. That's drginny.com. And when you do that, you can then go to the far right-hand button where it says radio show and click on that and then scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. And when you do that, and I'm going to do the same thing as well because I think I want to kind of talk you through this really quickly if I can, you're going to see a bunch of pictures there. And those pictures are exactly what we're talking about, how big marketers, and these are products that you might be buying every day. I know that Jessica, I had a chance to show this to her the other day, and she was really quite shocked. I am saying that they are allegedly, because I don't want to get sued, allegedly, this is examples of subliminal advertising. And as I go down to that right now, I'd like to stop at the first picture, which is a glass with a bunch of wood chips in it, but you can clearly see where the word sex is outlined twice in
those
wood
chips.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now, that was probably allegedly done in a photo processing after the picture was done. That's an ad for beer, okay? And then, of course, these rupees, which is the currency, you could see the word sex clearly.
You can see that clearly.
It's so very clearly visible. And then we go to the Skittles, okay? These are Skittles. These are Skittles that you buy every day, okay? It's quite clear that it says berry explosion, but the S Skittle is right in front of the explosion, so it clearly says sex, doesn't it?
Oh, wow.
It clearly does. And then the next picture you go down, we see Pirates of the Caribbean with the skull and the flaming flames coming out the side of his head. But if you superimpose a picture of Mickey Mouse over it, you'll see it actually takes out the exact same defined lines as the Mickey
Mouse
picture.
Pirates of the Caribbean is a Disney
movie. Pirates of the Caribbean, right? Exactly. So they use subliminal advertising in lots of different ways. Now, the burrito one, I'm not even going to state what that looks like. I don't want to go there. Yeah.
Oh.
Look at that. You can see it quite clearly.
There's another one.
There's another one of a man in his boxers. Again, you must be over the 18. This is mature audience only. You can see what's popping out there.
What is that an ad for?
This is an ad for boxer shorts. Now, they make it, they blurt it, but it's quite clear what it is.
Wow.
He wears a size 12 here. and this is red, but it quite clearly, again, is what it looks like. Then we go down to an ad, again, allegedly, an ad for McDonald's. Again, sex sells, whether we're seeing a sexual organ or we're seeing the word sex.
What a weird place
it's
to put
going
that,
to
right?
sell. The next one is just unbelievable. You can see where it's pixeled. That obviously was added, okay?
Yeah.
You can see where it's not blown up, and then we blow it up right above it so you can see it. These all were taken from artistmike.com, by the way. And it states so on all the pictures, but I just wanted to show you this. And then there's the one for Dodge Trucks, which shows the female productive system is almost an exact duplicate of the Ram that shows up on all their slogans.
I wonder why that would convince you to buy a truck.
Sexual organs,
yeah.
Not discussed, not talked about, taboo subject.
Is that why
here
women don't want to buy big trucks?
Maybe that's the who knows? You don't know. The point is, it's subliminal. Now, you know, psychologists allegedly work for large companies, allegedly, and they tell them what is going to trigger a response from people, allegedly, and this is supposed to do it. And so the last one that I have on the site here is from Coca-Cola. Now, this one is beyond shocking, and I don't care what anyone says.
That was the one that blew my mind.
Yeah, I mean, you could see a bottle of Coke. It says, feel the curves. It's a bottle of Coke, and then it's surrounded by ice. But then if you look in the lower right-hand corner, and we've got it blown up there, it's quite obvious it is a male genitalia.
Right.
And a face next to it. So just, you know, look, I'm not saying that I know for a fact that these companies are doing it. It's
right.
alleged.
But it is alleged, but we're looking at the picture, and there it is.
And there it is, and I don't know what else to say about it. It's kind of...
That is so crazy, so crazy. Can you imagine Coke?
Yes.
Coke,
well,
of all things.
These are products that we use every day. And so what I want to say about this is the subliminal advertising is out there. It's out there everywhere. Now, they can say it's not, and they say it's illegal, but it is. There was actually a wine store that was playing French music. They did a test on two separate days. They went in and they played French music for the entire day in the wine store, okay, just French music. 83% of the sales, now let me rephrase that, the sale of French wines went up 83% that day.
Oh, wow, just by listening to French music.
The next day they played German music, and the sale of German wine went up 84%.
Wow.
Now, they had a questionnaire, so when people left the store, they said to them what may have been an inducement that you might have purchased what you purchased today. They stated all kinds of different things, but nobody, not one person, stated that the reason why they purchased that was because of the music.
Because they probably didn't even hear, really.
It never occurred to them. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that is unbelievable.
Just amazing. I'm going to tell you more in just a sec. We'll be back. Psychic Cafe. That was Katy Perry with Firework. Now, for those of you in the chat room, no, I was not looking at those pictures, but you can all tell I was starting. I had some, like a frog in my throat, and I was coughing, and I was
trying to... I think it was more like a dust ball.
Are you suggesting our studio is dusty? No, I don't know what it was. It was just, I just started coughing. I couldn't stop there, but those pictures are amazing, and yes, you will have to put your glasses on. Whoever said that in the chat room, and get a better look. It's a little shocking, but the reality is it's there. You know, they even have studies that show if the beat of music being played in a retail environment is faster than your heartbeat, then buyers will shop too quickly and they'll leave the environment because it won't be a pleasant experience for them. So they'll spend less. So the music that's played normally is slower than the human heartbeat to give the retail establishment a fighting chance to get more of your dollars. Now, you can wonder if playing music affects the way we buy. And obviously it does. You know, it does.
Wow, that's interesting.
Because of that, and also because of what we just learned about the wine study that they did, which is really amazing. But, you know, all your senses can correlate back to your subconscious. Individual colors or color combinations affect people in profound subconscious ways. Colors create physical or mental responses on a moment-to-moment basis. Not only can we be affected in public places, but the color schemes, of course, in our private spaces can have intense, you know, subliminal impact on us. You know, I'll give you an idea. Years ago, we had a restaurant. Remember our Schnitzel Fritz?
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah. They all really good food.
They had really good food. I remember I had to go in one day, and actually the prep cook got a piece of metal in his eye.
My gosh.
And they had to prep the salads.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll help. And I went in. I couldn't figure out. I cut the tomatoes wrong. How lame was that? Yeah, I never went back into hell. Yeah, anyway, we knew this back then, what I'm about to tell you now. If you walk into any fast food establishment, just kind of step back for a moment and look at the paint colors on the walls, colors in the furniture or on the menu signage. Most likely there's a predominant use of red, orange, or yellow. These are considered hot colors, and they speed up the metabolism, cause the blood pressure to rise, and ultimately increases your appetite. So you may realize that you actually order more food, eat faster, and leave the restaurant quicker because of this subliminal effect of the colors, which is kind of amazing. Now, within jails, pink is used in kind of a unique way. It's painted on the walls where drunk, aggressive people are placed. And in a short time, aggressive behavior will stop, and intoxicated individuals become more sober. Pink has what they say a tranquilizing effect, a muscle-relaxing effect on the subconscious. There was a director of the Institute of Biosocial Research in Tacoma, Washington. His name was Dr. Alexander Shouse. And he says even if a person tried to be aggressive or angry in a pink room, he can't because it's a tranquilizing color that seems to just sap your energy. So even colorblind are tranquilized by pink rooms. How about that?
You would think a lot of people would paint their bedrooms pink.
You would think so,
relaxing,
right?
Peaceful.
A blue, a light blue, because that's also a tranquilizing color.
Right.
Now, I'm going to share this with you. I was talking to my daughter today, who's in high school, mm-hmm. and I was telling her, you know, about this, because we actually had lunch at a fast food place, and I said, notice the color of the board. It was orange, burnt orange.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pointing that out to her, and she said, you know, because kids know everything today. She said, oh, yeah, Ma. She said, they were telling us about that in early childhood development, how the different colors can affect the children. And she said, that's why they paint all the schools in our school, at the Oviedo High School, is all painted blue, powder blue.
Oh, so they're all peaceful
yeah.
feeling.
She said, so it's peaceful, and it's supposed to, you know, not cause people to be aggressive, et cetera, you know. Now, I'm thinking, Susie, if I'm an interior decorator, Susie, who if I know in the chat room, and I was trying to get clients' business, I might want to suggest that there's real evidence that the color of a room can affect your visitors, your friends, people can view you as kinder, softer, more personable, more affluent. So that could be tied to the color scheme of a room, right? So if you're putting a room together for somebody, not only to be aesthetically pleasing, but also to portray the message that you would like your visitors to receive when they come in it, just the fact that a decorator would mention this and has knowledge of this, I think would increase the buyer's confidence in that decorator so that they might want to do business with
you.
So I think just letting a person know, a prospective client know that, you know, that certain colors can motivate your visitors to respond a certain way, just knowing that makes you seem more knowledgeable. I hope you take that point well, Susie Q. Okay. And, of course, we know healing colors of sound, et cetera, you know, and chakra healing.
Well, that's right. Oh,
I never
thought about that.
Right? I mean, we use aromatherapy, light therapy, and we do use certain colors to bring about certain kind of healing techniques. And, you know, Edgar Cayce, who was a famous psychic, actually, he prescribed color treatments for thousands of people. He would view a person's aura and determine where the imbalance was, and then he might prescribe placing a colored cloth over a specific area. You know, there's just a lot of things that have been done with color. In today's world, color is used for everything. But professionals who do work with color are aware of how they can influence people. Give you some examples of how colors can influence people. Several years ago, a London company painted their massive gray machinery a light orange color. The morale improved by the once disgruntled employees because the accidents decreased and the employees were documented as singing while they worked where they hadn't prior to that because they were told to paint it
in
orange.
Well, yeah, going from a dismal gray. Yeah,
right?
I can understand
happy,
that.
Joyful, right? And in other companies, employees complained that the black metal boxes that they had were packing pipes into were so heavy that they were straining their backs. So without their knowledge, the black boxes were painted green. Employees suddenly were instantly elated with the new lightweight metal boxes.
Oh, that's
it was
too
just
funny.
A perception, okay? Subliminal, right? In operating rooms, sheets and gowns are a pale blue, you know, which is calming and soothing. But some rehabilitative hospitals have used different shades of red, orange, or yellow to energize depressed patients. So techniques such as like projecting specific colors onto walls or painting waiting rooms calming colors or using colors on floors to speed up the sensation of moving faster are other techniques used in healing institutions. Now, this is interesting. Salesmen that are placed in like a big red meeting room and they're having a meeting and then they were placed in a separate meeting room, a green meeting room, and there was no way to tell the time. So if you put them in a red room that was painted red and put them there for a specific period of time, then put them in a room that was painted green for a specific period of time, and there was no way to tell the time, they will perceive that the length of the meeting in the red room was much, much longer than the perception that they were in the shorter in the green room. They said was shorter, when in fact they were in there.
Because the red is a more disturbing color?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, more aggressive color. Their heart beats faster, and they just, I think,
whereas
you know,
the green is calming, and more peaceful.
Right, yeah. You know, there was a bridge in England called Blackfriars Bridge, and it sort of had an unsettling reputation for suicides, and the original black ironwork of the bridge was repainted green, and suicides went down by one-third.
I mean, isn't that funny?
I mean, it's shocking. And there was an athletic director at the University of New Mexico. Men will love this, okay? He painted his team's locker room bright red, which stimulates the heart rate and metabolism and intensifies aggressive feelings. But then he painted the opponent's locker room pale blue, the color that evokes calm, passive behavior. Yeah. I know. I kind of like that.
That was clever.
You know, so sex and death are topics of universal human interest. We saw that in pictures. We see that subliminal can affect in the music. It can affect in the colors that we see. We see it in the print ads. In Western culture, it is a taboo, so that's why they use sex and death, because it's taboo. And so I think that what we're seeing here is that there are a lot of ways that they can affect our subconscious mind. There's a gentleman by the name of Wilson Brian Key. He's a psychologist who performed a lot of studies on subliminal and perceived subliminal advertising. And he says that, you know, he says allegedly, I'm saying allegedly, he stipulates that advertisers will manipulate us subconsciously any way they can. And so what I'm going to say is this. If all this is going on, okay, and we are being manipulated in so many different ways that are outside of our control, the ways that are inside our control, which is for us to be able to control our subconscious mind to work for greater goals, to use what I call the power of auto-suggestions to help us, is a good thing. And so that's one of the things that I want to talk about is how we can take our subconscious mind that has all the stimuli coming in and maybe has been pre-programmed, since we were 6 years old, how we can make it work in a positive way for us. So here's some steps that you can use to help pre-program your subconscious mind. Number one, determine exactly what you want to achieve in life, okay? This is going to enable you to focus on the exact script that you want in your subconscious. And because we know what's in there needs to be changed. And decide what you want it to be. So in other words, don't say I want to be a confident person, for example. Say more that you want to be comfortable talking to strangers. The more precise you can be, the more easily it's going to be to change your subconscious, okay? You know, you can say to yourself, okay, I want to be a more outgoing person, and the way I want to do that is I want to be able to talk at parties, but I also want to be able to talk one-on-one with people and be more comfortable. So be very specific in outlining what you want. Thought alone is not enough. Physical manifestation of your desire is going to reinforce the rewriting of your script in your subconscious. So what you do is you must decide how far you're prepared to go. And by that I mean being extremely finite in how you want to make those steps. Like, for instance, You have trust issues, right? So you want to work on that. Well, how do you have trust issues? Is it when you first meet a guy, or is it continuing on in the relationship?
Yeah, it's continuing on.
Okay, so you need to get past a certain point, because
right.
I happen to know you only get to a certain point
right.
in a relationship, and then you
then
always
I kinda,
find something wrong.
I find fault.
You cut the cord, yeah. And so you have to determine that you're not going to make an opinion based on a subconscious perceived notion, and you're going to give them a chance. So for you, what I would suggest, actually, is to write down each date afterwards so that you can see in actual print what really took place on that date, and what part of this am I reading into it, but what really took place? Did he really have trust issues? Did he really send up red flags, or is it just because your subconscious is so sure it's not going to work
right,
out? You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one is fixing a date for the achievement. In other words, you don't want to set an unrealistic time period for this. In other words, say, I'm going to work on this for the next 6 months. Don't say, well, in the next, 4 weeks or 8 days or 16 days, I'm going to change this. You know, it took a lifetime of this building up in your subconscious and to keep replaying these scripts in our mind. So they're in there pretty solid, okay? They got some pretty deep grooves. We need to go in and shake that up a little bit. So that means we need to set realistic goals for ourselves. And you don't want to set it so far in advance that you lose interest in it. Okay, so in honesty, you might set a 6 month goal, like for instance, on that. Okay, and then that way, it keeps your interest. It doesn't go too far beyond the date, and you can work on it gradually. And in that way, it becomes a realistic goal that you can work for. Now, to boost, like for instance, plan your actions by rewriting the script that's in your head. Now, what I mean by that is if you wanted to do public speaking, okay, I want to be more outgoing with people, not be so shy. Set a goal to approach a stranger each day and initiate conversation, okay? Now, in your goal, I can't tell you to go out and, date a guy every day.
Date a bunch
although
of different guys.
That would be. you don't want to do that. But what you want to do is, I know that you do have opportunities to date. You want to start your first step is to start taking advantage of the opportunity.
That would be key important.
That would be really key.
Say, yes, I will go out.
Because the answer is yes. Oh, no, I'm too busy. Sorry. No, you need to actually accept the date. But then
I have to go.
And then you have to go, and then you have to be open-minded. And I really think you should come home and write everything down. So you can look at it and say, okay, he said this, and this is this, and this is my perception. Because it's usually the next day where you've slept on it,
yes.
And your subconscious
and I find
over.
Every little fault.
Well, let me tell you something. My husband is one of these people who has just the most supreme confidence in his subconscious. And I have told you this. My husband can say, well, I'm not quite sure how to handle this situation, or I want to bring on this new marketing campaign. I'm not sure what angle I want to go from. I'll sleep on it. Now, for most of the people in the world, they say they sleep on it. That means I'll think about it tomorrow.
Right, right.
But no, he actually, when he goes to bed, he'll sit there and kind of like say, okay, subconscious, here's the situation. I want to decide, is it this way best or is this way best? I need you to work on this for me while I'm sleeping. And your subconscious works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He will many times wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, jump out of bed and say, I've got an idea. I've got to go down and write this down. And it amazes me. And it works every time.
Wow.
I mean, there have been – I remember he was trying to think up of a name for one of his businesses, and he said to me, he said, I'll sleep on it. And he woke up and he said, I had the greatest idea.
Wow,
and he'll go
that's
right
amazing.
Down. So it's, and anyone can do this because you just need to tell your subconscious. This is actually one of the – it's a psychiatrist's trick, actually, to reprogram the script in your subconscious. Is before you go to bed at night, I want you to outline very carefully what you want your subconscious to rewrite, okay? In your case, you want to go to bed at night and say, okay, I don't want you to rewrite your entire trust issue with men, because it's not a possibility
right.
in one night. But what you can say is for tonight and every single night when I go to bed for the next 2 solid weeks, I'm going to tell my subconscious that I have to give a man at least a chance of X number of dates before I decide whether or not he's trustworthy or not. Okay, you have to, unless there's some blatant issue, you know,
right.
which you'll see because you're going to write it down
right.
after each date, you know. So if he said, you know, if you write down, said he was going to pick me up, never showed up, didn't call for 5 hours, okay, that's a dumper, okay? You dumped him. But you know, if the date
is
going...
Or him having ugly teeth is not a reason not to go out with him again.
Okay, now, see, this is the
Sorry.
Thing. Okay, everybody has their, if you don't find him physically attractive, well, that's okay. You
okay.
don't have to date him again. Because you actually like chubby guys.
I do.
Right?
I do.
And some women like really skinny guys, so it's not like you're being, you know,
right.
overly critical.
I just have a thing about teeth.
Yeah, well, you like them to have them. and we're getting in trouble here. We're getting off the track. In other words, write out your plan.
Right.
Okay, write it out as a statement of fact. So it's almost like a document that's going to attest to what you're going to do. So literally every night for the next 2 weeks before you go to bed, you're going to write down, and then again, if somebody has a different issue, what you want to reprogram in your subconscious. If you feel guilt over a situation, regardless of whether the guilt is there or not, I mean, people often will feel guilt because of something they either perceived they did wrong or something they did do wrong. It doesn't really matter. You can't change the past. And to keep reliving it in your subconscious so you keep doing things differently and sabotaging yourself every day, well, that doesn't help anyone, does it?
No.
So it's time to get off that track, and so you need to then reprogram yourself for that. And I feel there's probably somebody out there who's dealing with that right now, because that's why it came into my head so strongly just now. So who's ever feeling excessive guilt, I don't care if it belongs there or not. You know, no one's perfect. We all make mistakes. Time to throw the guilt out and to start rewriting the script that's running in your subconscious. You need to do that. So write it down every night. Write it down exactly, which will be a document that's going to attest to what you're going to do and what your subconscious is going to think of that night. And I want you to read it twice daily. This is your statement, knowing what you have set yourself to achieve. If you do this regularly, you will be like burning this into your mind. It's like burning the hard drive of your subconscious, all right? And it'll enable you to change those scripts that run constantly since you were a child. Don't expect it to change overnight. Small, tiny steps, and you will succeed. If you want to have some fun, folks, you can go to a site called www.colorquiz.com. That's colorquiz.com. And it's a very simple 5-minute test, where you can actually go in and pick certain colors, and then you'll pick it again, boom, 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 and it'll give you personality traits. I did it, and for me, it was dead on the money, and I thought it was kind of amazing. I can't say how it would be for somebody else because I only did it with
the
colors.
These colors that you like.
These
are your favorite
colors. That make you feel good. I don't even want to tell you how to do it. I want you to go to the site, read it, and do it, and it's kind of neat because it gives you ideas or clues, and then you just do what it says, and when you do it, then all of a sudden you'll see it'll come up with what your personality traits are. And I thought that was like really cool because it hit me dead on the money. It was really neat. We'll be right back.
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But other day.
Every other day.
Every other day.
Every other day of the week is fine.
Friday. Okay, you're back with the Christian Psychic Cafe. And unfortunately, you all heard me sing just for a moment there because I didn't realize I had unmuted my phone.
And you like to sing.
And I do like to sing. And do you want to know something? I was thinking about this in preparing for the show. We all know, I've said, my mother said I was tone deaf. And my husband says so, too. But you know what?
I have no comment.
I'm going to... I think that that is a programming that I took in from when I was young, right, in my subconscious.
Okay.
I'm going to rewrite that, and I'm going to start singing out loud and
in
singing
key.
It strong. Yes, I'm going to sing really loud all the time, and I'm going to put it out there to see if maybe, you know, I could be a better singer if I wasn't so defeating myself. Yes, I could sing like this lady. And who is that?
Hare Krishna.
Yes, that was such a great thing. Okay, we've got a caller that's been so kind and patient waiting, so I'm going to take her now. Hi, you're on live with Dr. Jenny. How can I help you?
Hi.
Is that a rooster here in the background?
No, five dogs.
Oh, God bless you. You must live alone. Five dogs?
No, this is Susie in the chat room, and I'd like to first comment on the colors and rooms.
Oh, yes, interior decorator woman.
Yes, it may be interesting to know that if you know anybody that has mental health issues, do not make the room yellow.
Really? That's
yes.
Interesting. So mental health.
Now I would
issues.
Think that yellow would be peaceful. No.
Yes. You see, it just kills the whole mellow yellow thing.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wow. Now, everybody, yes. Listeners, Susie has is just about finished with her degree in interior decorating. She's done it for years. She's incredibly good at what she does. So she really knows what she's talking about. So go ahead, tell us more.
And I don't really understand the whole thing with the gray and how lots of businesses go with, like, painting their interiors gray because I find it to be very, very depressing,
mm-hmm.
especially working in that environment.
I agree with you. Well, that's what we talked about with one of those companies. All their equipment was painted what I call mauve
yes.
gray, you know.
Yes, and there's
a
lot of business. Yep, and there are a lot of businesses and a lot of schools that do that. You think that they would want the students to be happy at school.
You would like to think that.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. So is this something that they teach in school? Is this part of when you're getting an interior decorator degree? Do they?
Yes.
It is. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, colors and how we discuss colors and how they make you feel.
I think it's an important selling point. I mean, I would use that as a selling point if I was meeting with a client because I would say, how do you want to be perceived by the people who use this room? It's not what you want. Also, of course, what you want in the room, but how do you want to be perceived by the people that spend time in this room? What overall general feeling would you like them to have when they come in here? Because I think that's
exactly.
A selling point. You know, and I'll tell
exactly.
you something else. They did a study, and if you have somebody who is an alcoholic and you put them in a yellow room, they will not want to drink. You have to put them under yellow lights. They will not drink. Put them under red lights, and they'll drink like a fish. I heard Dean Martin lived in a room with red lights. All, no. I just heard about that when I was doing some research on this subject, and I had not heard that before.
Yes, it's amazing what colors make us feel good in our own homes.
And that's absolutely true. I've decorated many a room in my time, and I can say that I have my living room was I spent 6 months putting that room together because I wanted it to be a specific color with specific furniture, a certain way with different textures. And that room is my mecca. I mean, I go there just when I want to unwind. I have never not been able to unwind in that room. It's just
well,
very...
that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then, what is your favorite Mormon color for your home?
Did you say Mormon color?
What makes you feel warm and fuzzy at home?
You know what? It sounds kind of funky, but I have this kind of olive green in my living room that I absolutely love. It doesn't look like, you know, army green. What color would you
like? It's a green, like a combo olive green khaki-ish.
Yeah, but it's very, very calming. With the other colors, I have leather in there, and I have it's kind of like the West Indies meets Bombay look. You know, yeah, it's kind of, you know, I've got a little, yeah, it's an odd comment, but it really looks good.
Yeah, it's a pretty room.
Green is very calming.
It is, okay.
Green
That's
is
maybe
very
why
calming.
I fall asleep on the couch in there a lot. It's a very calming room, whereas my rec room in my home is tan, and I can tell you.
I was going to say, what about beiges? I wonder what.
I don't find them
nice.
Very calming.
Yes.
Are they interior decorated
yes.
women? They are.
Yes. Yes, they are.
See, that's why I like beige.
But,
you know, I personally can't do blue.
No, I can't do it. I can't
blue.
Either.
Yeah,
blue
is not.
I'm not crazy about blue either. I have a master bedroom that's blue, and I'm getting ready to change it.
Yay!
It's just too blue. It's blue. I guess the point is colors can really affect the way we think, the way we feel, the way we perceive things. And it all gets tied back into our subconscious, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It really, really does.
It's amazing how intricate we are made up of. And maybe someday God will use that subconscious for us another way.
Oh, I'm sure that our subconscious mind is able to do so many more extraordinary things. You know, I just briefly touched on the fact that if a person, I don't care if you were looking at a spider web when you were 8 years old. Literally, if you go into a hypnotherapy and you get put under, you can actually go into your subconscious mind, retrieve that spider web, and you could actually draw it out on a piece of paper. That's how intricate and how factual our subconscious mind is, which is why oftentimes in police departments and in the FBI, they will put people under, hypnosis to try and retrieve facts that the mind cannot. It's not that the person doesn't want to, it's that they cannot because their conscious mind didn't pick it up, their subconscious did. So it's kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm. And maybe
Thank you. That's why we all have fears
and we don't know why, and they're in our deep subconscious.
Well, absolutely. And there are times that we have to kind of go in and figure out what it is that's bothering us. And that's one of the things that we talked about on several previous shows is sometimes we have to outline where the failure is, the failure to communicate with ourselves or the critical breakdown is happening so that we can look at a situation and say, okay, first we have to acknowledge this is going on in our life. Then we have to choose to do something about it, and then we have to take action. And when we do that, we're able to change things. And once you do those three steps, then you go into rewriting the script that's in your subconscious mind. And the steps that I outlined tonight can do that for everybody and anybody. And Susie, while we've got you on the phone, we want to thank you for sitting in our chat room and being our chat room mom. And I think there is somebody named Alaya in the room right now who says she's so lonely. So I've kind of been peeking into the chat room while the show's been going on, and the commentary in there was making us laugh, actually. So thank you for that, everybody. I think I want to thank you for sitting in there and keeping everybody comfortable and creating such a nice commentary going on in the chat room all the time. So we appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome.
All righty. Well, listen, you have a wonderful evening. We're going to get back to the rest of the show, and I will talk to you very soon, okay?
Okay, dear. Thank you. Bye, Jessica.
Thank you, Susie.
Bye-bye. Nice talking to you.
Okay,
she's great, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's great. Susie Q is one of my favorite people. I've known her for several years now, actually. She's a client, and she just cracks me up, and she's got the most amazing, wonderful, positive little bubbly personality
that
you could ever imagine. Yeah, she's a really good soul, and it's such a pleasure to always be able to talk to her. And she's just, kind of just picked up that chat room for us and kind of just took off with it. And I love that because, you know, that's a nice thing not to have to worry about all the time.
Oh, I know.
You know?
She does a great job.
I know. She really does. All right, I've got to go for one more quick song. But you know what? Because we're getting down to the wire here, I want to make sure that everybody knows what our shows are going to be. I know we talked about Liar Liar Pants on Fire coming up.
We have to do the drawing. Let's not forget the drawing.
And Jessica, go ahead and do the drawing. I'll continue to announce our shows that are coming up. We have also the show on friendship, how to make friendships and how to keep friendships. And I hear you shaking it up.
I am shaking it up.
I'll tell you what. And we also have our show coming up on near-death experiences and what really happens. And I think that's important. So you pull it out, and who is it? This is from Angie K, and she is from Miami, Florida. And Angie, you are the winner of this week's drawing for a free 30-minute reading. You will get an email in the morning. And since I have the email in my hand, I'll read it real quick. I really want to buy a crucifix for my son, and I saw that you had one online. Are the ones you have online blessed? I probably responded to this via already email, but I will tell you that none of our crucifixes are blessed because we don't know what denomination you are when you purchase them. So, if you're Methodist or if you're a Baptist or if you're a Presbyterian or a Catholic, so you want to have it blessed by, your minister or your priest. But what we do provide is in all the pendants, of course. We do put in a blessed palm from Palm Sunday. And, of course, there's no fee for that. That's just automatically inserted as our gift to you. But you should definitely, I always recommend having any crucifix blessed. And I have holy water by the quart in my home. And I actually dunk all the crucifixes in the holy water because I think that's important. That's just my thing that I do. But, again, Angie K., you will be getting an email from us in the morning. You've won a 30-minute free email reading. And so, again, don't forget to tune in for all our shows on Wednesday nights. And as some of you may have noticed, we do run podcasts of our show during the week. You can go in and listen to any of our shows online that we've done in the past. And there's, I think, 12 or 15 or God knows how many that's on there, probably more than that. But they're all on there, and you can go in and play any of those at any time. And as always, we want to thank you for listening to our show. We love to do the show because you're our listeners and you're our friends, and we appreciate each and every one of you. We say God bless you, and we'll see you next week here on the Christian Psychic Cafe. And thank you for spending all the evening with us. Of the ever-changing will.
My tapestry's unraveling, he's gone.